Welcome to the Pastor's Study. This is Brother Gino. If you've been listening for the last few weeks, you know that we've been doing a verse-by-verse study in the book of 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to continue our study. We're in chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians. Before we begin today, as we do before every study, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His guidance today. Father in heaven, we thank You for being the great God that Thou art. Father, we thank You for this precious opportunity, this honor it is to open up Thy very words as You preserve them, inspired, inerrant, infallible in this King James Bible. Father, I pray for the saint of God today that's listening, that Your words, this study, would edify, build up, and help each and every one of them grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, if there's a lost soul today that's listening, Father, I pray this would be the very day that they realize they're lost, they're on their way to hell because of their sin. But they would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in His shed blood and nothing else to save them from their sins and give them a home in heaven. What a glorious day that would be. We're told the angels in heaven rejoice when each time someone gets saved. Father, now we commit this time into Thy hand. We pray and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, last time we were in verse number 6 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to read the verse again. We read, "Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ." And what we started to do is look at the apostles of Christ. We started to do a little bit of study about that. We see that Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ, and we were looking at, we looked in the Gospels where the 12 apostles are listed. We're going to be looking at the qualifications of an apostle and so forth and so on. So that's where we're going to continue today. And we were looking at the 12 apostles that were listed in the Gospel of Luke and Matthew. And we saw that these 12 were present with Jesus from the beginning of His ministry and were with Jesus at the Passover Supper, but fled from Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, after the resurrection, these men came together again, except for Judas, who betrayed Christ and hung himself, and chose to elect, amen, we saw that they come together after the resurrection, except for Judas, who had hung himself, who betrayed Christ. The reason they came together was to choose and elect a new apostle in order to retain the number 12. Thus, by lot, Matthias was chosen in Acts chapter 1, verse 26. Now, there is some debate as to whether Matthias is an apostle or not. Some claim he was chosen by man rather than God, and that God did not honor their method of choosing Matthias. In that, in reality, Paul is the 12th apostle chosen by God. Now, whether this be the case or not, we will soon learn that there are more than 12 apostles anyway. And those who argue that Matthias was not an apostle are only trying to set the number of apostles at 12 and make no allowance for any more. Continuing on, we must ask the question, what does it take for a man to be an apostle? What does it take for a man to be an apostle? Now, according to the Bible, it is very clear. In Acts chapter 1, verses 21 to 25, we find that for a man to be an apostle, he had to have been with Jesus and the others from the beginning of the baptism of John until the resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 23 of Acts 1, we find there was another man named Barsabas, or Justus, that was with the apostles during this time as well, but he was not apostolized, if you will. Now, one of the distinguishing characteristics of the apostles was their ability to do signs and wonders. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, Paul says, "Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." So the apostles had the gift of working miracles. That Peter had these signs is clearly evident in such places as Acts chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, and Acts 5, verses 15 and 16. Let's just turn to the book of Acts and look at those references that I gave you. First, we want to turn to the book of Acts chapter 3, and we'll look at verses 6 and 7 together. Acts chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. We read, "Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." So here we see the Apostle Paul had the gift of working miracles. As he took the hand of this lame man and pulled him up, this man walked and he leaped. Amen. Then also in Acts chapter 5, in verses 15 and 16, "Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities around about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." So we see that clearly that Peter had the sign gift, amen, of the sign gifts and the gift of working miracles. Now the other 12 had them as well, had also the gift of working miracles, according to Acts chapter 5, verse 12. Acts 5, verse 12. "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." But it was more than just the original 12 that had the power. You see, the Apostle Paul had the power of working miracles as well. Turn with me to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 and verse number 11. We read, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul." We also see so did Barnabas have the gift of working miracles as well. And again, we just read we got to turn now to Acts chapter 15 again, verse 12. And we read, "Then all the multitude kept silence, and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them, meaning both Paul and Barnabas. And who can forget the spiritual young man named Stephen, who preached a gripping message to the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 6, verse 8, we are told that he too did great wonders and miracles among the people. So those with the apostolic signs and wonders were more than just 12 men. And it is clearly true, without a doubt, that Paul was an apostle. Because for 15 times in the epistles, Paul refers to him as such, as an apostle of Jesus Christ. For example, if you look up Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, and Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, you'll see that Paul refers to himself as an apostle. So Paul would then be the 13th apostle. Amen? And he was the apostle to the Gentiles. Look with me, if you would, in Romans chapter 11, Romans chapter 11, and we'll look at verse 13. Romans 11, verse 13. In the context, the Apostle Paul is speaking, and he says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." Also look with me in Galatians, the book of Galatians with me. In Galatians chapter number 2, Galatians chapter number 2, verses 7 and 8. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, so Peter was the apostle to the Jews, the circumcision, the same, in other words, apostleship Paul was talking about, was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. So we see then, really, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Well, what about other men who worked miracles? Stephen, for example, Barnabas, Silvanus, Timothy, and so on and so forth. Were they too apostles? What about Andronicus and Junia, who we are told were among the apostles in Romans chapter 16, verse 7? Does that mean they were apostles themselves, or were only among, meaning that they were only with the other apostles? In Acts chapter 14, verse 14, we see that it states clearly that Barnabas and Paul are apostles. Looking in Acts chapter 14, verse 14 with me. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul, see that? Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul. So that makes the number 14, the number of apostles in number is 14. And if we take Romans chapter 16, verse 17, 7, Romans 16, 7, literally, we have two more, amen, we just mentioned, Andronicus and Junia, and that gives us a minimum of 16 apostles. So clearly, there were more than just 12. But what became of the apostles? Are they still around today? Do they still have the power to heal and work miracles? Or did their office and work cease? We shall, as always, turn to the Scriptures to find the answers to these questions. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 28 and 29, we read the following. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Here it says that God set some to be apostles. So not everyone is an apostle. And it continues by saying that God set them first in the church. Then Paul asks, are all apostles? And clearly the answer is no. And he continues, are all workers of miracles? Once again, the answer is no. In Ephesians chapter number 4, in verses 11 and 12, we read the following. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So God only gave the office and work of an apostle to some, not all. But as we study the Bible, we find that the apostles ended as time went on, and so did their signs and wonders. We have already seen, without a doubt, Paul was an apostle and had the gifts of an apostle. So strong was his power to heal and work wonders that he didn't even have to see a person to heal them. In fact, they could send him an apron or a handkerchief, and he would then pray for the owner of it, and they would be healed. And you can find that in Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. But as time went on, Paul lost that power. This is clearly evident by the following verses. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, Paul says the following to Timothy. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Here Paul recommends medicine for sickness. Why would he tell Timothy to drink wine, which is the Old English word for grape juice, for his infirmities if Paul still had the power to heal him? Another interesting verse is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 20. Here Paul tells Erastus, abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Now, if Paul still had the signs and wonders, then why would he leave someone sick? Another convincing bit of evidence to prove that Paul lost the apostolic signs, for remember, the signs are for the Jews, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, and we saw in Romans 11, verse 13, that Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, was that Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And we see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Now, there is much speculation as to what this might have been, what this thorn of the flesh might have been. Many have refused to guess for fear of being wrong. So I will simply put forth a strong possibility and let you, the listener, decide. Now, when Paul was on the road to Damascus, he was struck blind by the Lord. He remained that way for 3 days. We see that in Acts chapter 9, verse 9, until Ananias came and laid hands on him and prayed for him, and his eyes were open, Acts chapter 9, verses 17 and 18, and his blindness was healed. However, there is much in the Bible that would seem to point out that later on in life, possibly when Paul lost the apostolic signs, that Paul's eyes were again troubling to him. Could it then be that his thorn in the flesh was bad eyesight? In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 15, Paul says to the church at Galatia, for I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. And then again he says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 11, ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. Paul was not always in the habit of writing his own epistles. Sometimes he would dictate and someone else would write it down. For example, the book of Romans in Romans chapter 16, verse 22. But in this verse, Paul confesses that he did write the epistle to the Galatians in a large letter. Now, the book of Galatians is only 6 chapters, and it's not that long of a letter. Could he have been talking about the size of the actual letters that he wrote in his epistle? For a man with bad eyesight usually tends to write big so that he can read what he has written. At any rate, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, we find that only Luke is with Paul. And Paul had need of a doctor later in years. And of course, we're told that Luke was a physician in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. So because Paul had need of a doctor in his later years, this proved once again that the apostolic signs that he had ceased. Nowadays, If anyone claims to be an apostle, they must be tested and tried. For according to Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, there are some liars who want to attain the office and its glory. These men are false apostles. And according to 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 13, they are deceitful workers of Satan. So I hope that study on apostles, that little side trip we took as we're studying verse by verse through the book of 1 Thessalonians, was a blessing to you. Now let's move on to our next verse, which is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse number 7. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Paul's testimony of his treatment towards the Thessalonians was that he was gentle among them. He was then a gentleman. He took care of them as a nurse takes care of her children. One of the duties of a nurse is to give the child milk. In fact, when a mother has a baby, she nurses it to help it to grow. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, we read, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Thus the scriptures are likened unto milk. And Paul is saying that he took care of his newborn babes in Christ as a nurse cherishes for her young. And as she in love gives them milk, Paul also taught his new converts the scriptures. Let's look at verse 8 together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we are willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. Now Paul continues by saying that the Christian in Thessalonica was dear unto him. So much so that he was willing to impart unto them his own soul. Now, it's impossible to give one's soul literally to another individual. If someone is saved, his soul has been purchased by Christ and belongs to God. Now, this passage is an example of a use of a figurative term. The soul is not only an immortal, invisible being that each of us has inside of our fleshly bodies. It is also the mind, thoughts, mannerism, and beliefs of each individual. In short, it is the very being of that person. So Paul is saying that if it were possible, he would have given them his very being because he loved them that much. Well, our time has run out today on the pastor's study, and Lord willing, if he doesn't come for us, for the church, we'll meet again and continue our study in the book of 1 Thessalonians. I hope this study is a blessing to you. Our study will be, as all studies, available on audio cassette tape, and you'll be given the address of contact with me. If you need to contact me, like the tapes, it'll be given you that address at the end of the broadcast. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the Pastor Study today. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.